Shout out to Ray Brewer, our favorite reviewer.
Running it back with Immer Swag one more time. We had to get the rap song out there one more time. And we had to do it correctly because last week's sound issues were because I was trying to put the song in there. I silenced Brewer. It wasn't because I only thought you wanted to hear me, although I'm all you need to hear. Clearly.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Should be able to.
All right.
All right. So we're back. Prep sports now. Kind of a dilapidated field. We only got a few teams to talk about. And then there were three Southern Nevada teams left and one Northern Nevada team, of course, with Liberty going up there to play them. We'll get into all that today on Prep Sports Now, just after we remind you that this podcast is brought to you by the Zero Teen Fatalities Program. Zero may not be a good number for your football team, but it's the only acceptable number when it comes to teen fatalities on Nevada's roads. Be a zero, always buckle up, watch out for pedestrians, and don't drive distracted. Brewer, you were at the Sunrise Region Championship. After 5 years, I'm finally remembering which one is Sunrise and which one is Sunset. It takes a while. It's stupid as it sounds.
Because the sun rises over by your house.
Exactly. So you saw Liberty take down Green Valley. Final score 56-43. Shootout, as we may have expected.
Yeah, it was a shootout, and it was a game that, as we expected, was going to feature a lot of offense, but it was a game as well that Liberty kind of pulled away there. Green Valley made some turnovers. Liberty took advantage of them, got some short fields, and went and scored. I think they scored four or five straight touchdowns to pull away, including one right before halftime to give them the lead and all the momentum in the world. It was tough for Green Valley to bounce back from because they played a pretty good first half.
Yeah, it seemed like they were up for a while, and then all of a sudden it just got a little bit out of hand. They made a little run, but it wasn't enough. In other action, sure you've heard by now, but just to recap, Palo Verde, very impressive performance, 42-14 over Centennial. I was convinced that game was going to be close, but we both thought Palo Verde was going to win.
I agree. I thought it was going to be close. I thought Centennial was hot. But Palo is gearing up. I think they're ready. They're ready to give Gorman their best shot.
For sure. And Gorman brings us to the Gales. They win 52-7 over Arborview. Never really close. Gorman pretty much ran them over, destroyed them, as we may have expected.
And you were at the Gorman game. What'd you think of Gorman?
I was at the Gorman game, and, yeah, I mean, I think that they're great. Now, here it comes, Palo Verde. Get the blankets on. Get ready to throw some more throwing knives at my picture. But just as I thought, I think you're crazy to think that Palo can play Gorman close. It's not even competitive. Gorman is so much better than every other team I've seen this year. I'll be stunned if it's close.
I do not dispute that. I just think that this group of Palo Verde players has been gearing up for this Gorman game basically their whole careers. Gorman-Palo is the rivalry of all rivalries. It's the one game we want to see. It's a great representation of Southern Nevada high school football. It's two well-coached teams. You know, it's two perennial powers. It's two teams that everybody wants to play for. Playing on a Saturday afternoon after a holiday when nobody's doing anything except watching two football teams get together and play. And I go back to the 07 game, the first year Gorman won state in 20-some years. Same situation, state semifinal / Sunset Championship game. At the new Fertitta Field, they had to get a permit from the county to open it. It's when Gorman moved its campus to Summerlin. The place was absolutely packed, and it was absolutely full of energy, and it was one of the great games I've seen. Now, of course, Gorman's players are better at every position now than they were at that year, but Palo came out with a game plan. They were the underdog that day, and they fought tooth and nail, and they lost on a fourth quarter, two-minute drill type of drive. I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think that just like the Palo-Gorman game that we went to at Palo, where Palo kicked a field goal to go up 3-0 right before half, and Gorman came down with a long pass and scored, I think it's going to be close through halftime, and I think Gorman pulls away in the fourth quarter. It'll remind us of the Gorman-Liberty game from three seasons ago.
I don't see it. I hope it has that atmosphere, and I'm sure it will. But I got to tell you, maybe people were just saving up for that. But, bro, there was no one at the Gorman game on Friday. Is it just because it's cold? I mean, there's teams we a lot of talk about that don't get the support that we think they should. Like, what came to mind was Canyon Springs. We say they never have any people. Gorman had less people at the game than Canyon Springs games I went to this year. I couldn't believe it. No one was there.
Well, Green Valley was packed with people for its Liberty game. One reason is the NIAA has increased its playoff prices. It used to be 7 for adults, 5 for students, seniors and children free. Now it's 10 for adults, 5 for students, or maybe 7 for students, and 3 for seniors. So they upped that price to 10, and they shut out a few people. And also, schools have their whatever Gale pass. You pay $50 or whatever, and you go to all Gorman events all year for that $50. Your Gale pass doesn't work that day. So that's part of the reason.
I was surprised.
Let me ask you this question. Last year, Gorman put a 70 spot on Paolo. 7-0. Mm-hmm. That's like 10 touchdowns, right?
Right.
Do you think the rivalry lost some of its luster with that outcome? Or do you think Paolo needs to win for the rivalry to continue to have its luster? Because nobody in either team was affiliated with the 08 victory except for Darwin Ross, who coached Paolo in 08.
I mean, I think
none of the players, none of the coaches for Gorman, none of the players on either team were around in 08. Darwin and his staff of coaches that he probably still has, the only
yeah, I know to the players it's always going to be a big deal, into the communities, because the schools are right next to each other. And I think that's great. I think the way you love it is great. I'm not taking away from that. But in my mind, it's just not a game that does it for me anymore, because I really – it's gone back to 2010, the only year I have been here. Of 5 years I've been covering high school football, the only year that I thought Paolo actually had a chance to beat him was 2010. They ended up losing by 3 touchdowns, I think.
Was that at Gorman or at Paolo?
At Paolo.
At Paolo. Because Sanchez's first year, Paolo was ahead in the second quarter.
But they lost by like 30.
Whatever they lost by, but then there was a kickoff return for a touchdown for Gorman. So if you get a kicker to kick it into the end zone, then you play a little D.
Well, then you lose by 23.
23, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was 30, but it was a lot. I just remember that year, I did not think Paolo was going to beat them. Paolo didn't even win their division that year. 2010 to me was the year where I thought Paolo was the best team they've had since I've been around. I really thought they had a chance to beat them. And when they lost that badly that year, that's when it lost some of its luster to me. And sure enough, the last 2 years, I don't even think have been really that close.
Yeah, well, last year especially, it was probably the coldest last year high school football game I've ever been to. And Gorman just jumped on them early. Perry had a scoop and score for a touchdown, which really there in the first half, which really Armand Perry, which kind of set Gorman Paolo back. And then, you know, my theory, when it's cold out, if you get smacked in the mouth right away and you can't smack back, you just kind of say, I've had a great career, and you call it a day, in my humble opinion.
Just because it's cold outside? I don't know.
Yeah, it's cold. The leaves are on the ground. You're thinking, all right, well, let's get to something inside. I had fun. My career was fun while it lasted. I'm not going to put up much of a fight. My humble opinion.
I don't think so. That goes in contrast to all you say about how this is the biggest game of the year and the Paolo kids always think they're going to win and they're so
fired
up.
Well, I don't think the Paolo kids thought they could win last year. I think they knew.
They do this year, though.
I think this year they think they could win. In fact, I know they think they could win because they've been aggressive on social media, letting people know that.
Well, I hope they have a great game. I hope this rivalry is all that you talk about, how it's the best game. I hope it lives up to that hype. I just don't see it. I thought Bishop Gorman was outstanding playing Arborview, who's a team that I still think – look, I was wrong. I've been wrong about a lot, so you'll probably be right in Paolo play Coast game, but I still think Arborview is not that much worse than Paolo Verde. I think if they play 10 times, it's not like Paolo Verde sweeping it. So I thought that was kind of a comparable opposition. I mean, the Paolo Arbor game was really close until the end this year too, and they beat them 40-7. Not to say Paolo's going to lose that bad, but I just 52-7. Excuse me. I didn't see. Gorman's going to have the off day of all off days to make this close, in my opinion.
No doubt. I mean, If Gorman plays its best, it's not losing to anybody in the 702. It's that simple.
The game I would really like to see, and this is ridiculous because we'll never see it. I shouldn't even mention it, but I want to see Palo Verde Liberty. Let's find out who's number two.
I'd like to see Palo Liberty as well. I tell you what, if Liberty this when you think Liberty high school football, what do you think? Before this year, let me preface it because you're a lot smarter because you're into this than other people. But for the general football fan, or for you and I going into this year, you say Liberty High football. What do you think?
And this is probably wrong, but I still kind of think like the new kid in town, the new program that's blowing up, kind of still up and coming. Mm-hmm. I don't think that anymore though. But going into the season.
The new team in town where Palo might be not as sexy.
Oh, yeah, definitely okay. Not as sexy, but that's their own. That's by their own success. I mean, okay. They've been great for...
Ever.
Yeah, like 15 years. That's just... My impression going into them this year was a really, really good team, one of the best teams in town, just like they are every year.
Okay, now, when I think of Liberty, I think of big, strong linemen. I think of running the ball. And I think of finding a way to win close games, right? Maybe Polynesian linemen because they were heavy polys, right?
I might think the opposite. I might think of finding a way to make games close that shouldn't be close.
Okay, finding a way to win close games or finding a way to make games close. Okay, I get it. But this year's Liberty team is not pound the rock. It's more finesse. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Tyler Newman slinging around to McQuaig and to... How do you say the last name? Haldick?
Drew Haladic.
Yeah.
Haladic, I don't know.
Drew HL and some change. And, you know, Brian Rowland had a nice catch. And then mixing in the ground game with Ethan Tuolagi and Calvin Tubbs and you know, playing better than average defense with Jarvis Polo. For whatever it's worth.
So where are you going?
I can't
with
even
this?
Remember what I was talking about. This isn't your mama's Liberty. This is a new Liberty. It's more of a sling it around finesse team.
Yeah.
They've evolved from being bigger and stronger and just jamming it down your throat to having a little finesse and being able to beat you with speed in on the outside. Remember, we used to always say Liberty slow. Remember, that was my big argument to Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Them. I think we've been saying this all year, though. I don't think it necessarily is just...
New.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, Green Valley Liberty. Lopez was as good as usual. Slung the ball around well. They had a cool little trick play, a little halfback or a little pass behind the line to Chavez, and Chavez with the strike to Perkins running for a touchdown. Had an onside kick. Had a little slant platter to Gio Hernandez in the corner of the end zone. And you're like, oh, this is typical Green Valley. Look like the game's over. Look like they don't have a chance. And then they piece together three touchdowns before your pen dries. But Liberty just too good, and they hang on for the win.
Mm-hmm. What do you you're usually the guy leading the brigade of how tough it is to go up north and win a game. What are you making their chances this week?
I think Liberty cruises. I think Reed would have been lucky to make the playoffs in the Northeast, the Canyon Vegas Green Valley division.
I guess the flip side would be Liberty. The last time, when was the year they went up to Reed? 2010.
They went up to Reno.
Reno up to Reno. 2011.
3 years ago.
Okay, 10 or 11.
And they went. Remember, they go for two on the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
It snowed that day.
Right.
They were
the better team that year, though, is my point, and they still lost.
I know, but it was at least a little balanced. And this was 3 years ago before, you know, their two-star players, Capelli and Nakua, developed a lot.
3 years ago against McQueen, 7-6.
7-6, and they went for two, which we commended them for because it was snowing that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a great game back and forth. That was when we were at the Palo Gorman game that was good, right? Because
right.
I remember we were on the sideline mm-hmm. trying to get updates of what was going on in the game.
Mm-hmm. And
I just think that Reed is not that good. I think that Liberty is experienced in travel, and they went down to Cali for a game. I think the only thing that probably stands in their way is if it snows. But it's my opinion that they're going to just go up there and just destroy them. It won't even be a close game.
Wow. I'm
which is totally
to
anti-Ray because I always say the weather is the great equalizer. But now you see a team like Faith Lutheran go up there and pitch a shutout, and then Gorman's been up there and had some success. So maybe my theory is not as solid as I thought it would be. Maybe that it's a new age and that the fact that the teams from the Las Vegas area are just so much better that, you know, if it's even, okay, travel, snow, unfamiliar hotel beds, definitely a problem. But when Team A coming from Vegas is just so much better than Team B from Reno, I don't know if it even matters.
A couple thoughts from all you just said. One, I'm surprised because I actually have heard from some people that think Reed isn't that much worse than Liberty. I know nothing about the subject, so I'm only going based on what I had already heard and then what you I know nothing about the North except for what Lake Tahoe guy tweets at me.
What did he say? Because I thought
– I don't think he said anything about Reed. I just mean – and I wasn't attributing to him what I know about Reed. I'm just saying that's all I ever learn about the North. But I've heard some people say that Liberty could have their hands full here. A lot is because of the travel. It's just interesting to hear you kind of downplay it for once. Number two thought is we're now 15 minutes into the podcast. How have we not mentioned Faith Lutheran state champions until you just mentioned they shut out Churchill County 17-0? What a surprise. If you go back to the beginning of the season, we thought it was like a fringe playoff team, and Faith Lutheran is bringing home the trophy.
And I had I was out at a Faith practice this week. I saw those guys up close. Two things. One, they got a lot of coaches out there, which is always a good thing. But two, really well organized, really well structured, played great defense, had a lot of seniors, and were totally bought in, and that's a formula for success. They had a player, Kenyon Smith, who previously was a wide receiver. He embraced being a running back. He ran hard every time he got the ball. Obviously, he has a good pedigree, and he carried them early, and then they got some confidence, and they got hot, and they got rolling. It was like it was like Connecticut in the NCAA tournament a few years. They just, you know, they liked each other. There was good chemistry, and they were the better team every week.
So what was the final tally? Straight. Yeah, 13 straight wins.
17-0 against Churchill County. They had seven or eight turnovers they forced, including five interceptions. So in the semis and in the championship game, they gave up 8 points and they forced 13 turnovers. And that's how you win a state championship.
Yeah, what a special year for those kids, something they'll never forget. And Coach Vernon Fox in his first year wins the state championship. That's pretty special.
I agree with you. And he'll be the first, though, to say it wasn't only him, that he's got a great staff and the kids bought in, and that it was a team effort. And it was. And you saw photos they took online from the game and from the post-game celebration. And that's a pretty good little memory for those kids. That's why I love that lower Division 1A, because you could arguably say it's up for grabs every year, right?
Absolutely. And I think if you're still we were talking about it before we came in, I think some of those teams got to be kicking themselves, because Moapa Valley was probably the most talented team in the division. They couldn't get it done. Virgin Valley beat Faith Lutheran. They couldn't get past Moapa. And Desert Pines had Faith Lutheran on the ropes.
Couldn't deliver.
So, I mean, that's just how close that – and I've really enjoyed watching this play out. I feel like that's one thing we've kind of missed in town, and high school football is watching like a real
coin flip.
Yeah, a real, like, could have gone either way playoffs, where all these things contributed to Faith Lutheran winning. If we ran the playoffs back tomorrow, and I'm not taking away from Faith Lutheran's thing, I'm just saying it to illustrate my larger point of how crazy it was. I don't know who comes out as the winner. there's like six teams you can make a case for.
Exactly. And you got to think that Moapa Valley, if it doesn't shoot itself in the foot, when they played Fallon, I mean,
seven turnovers.
Yeah, six interceptions, that a Moapa Faith State game would have been pretty good, and that would have been here.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's get back to trying to figure out who's in the next state game. Should we just start picking these?
Yeah, let's deliver our picks.
All right, what game first?
Well, let's start with Liberty Reed.
Okay.
I've got Liberty big. I just don't think it's going to be close. I think that Reed's not that good, in my humble opinion. And I've just texted Lake Tahoe guy to see if he's got a line on the game. I hope to hear back from him.
All right. I am going to go Liberty, too. I think that they win. I don't think they're going to blow them out, though. I think it's going to be close. I just think at the end of the day, they just have too many guys. I say it every week. I just think they have a lot of weapons. I think they have a lot of things they can do. If you just look at the box score from the Green Valley game, there's a lot of different guys.
I can't dispute that. I think Liberty showed against Green Valley that it's, you know, four-time region champs for a reason. They're destined to play in the state game. And let's get it on.
If Reed wins, I don't know the answer to this. Someone asked me and I couldn't answer. Is the state game in Reno?
If Reed wins, the state game's here regardless. If Reed wins, Gorman could put up 100 if they wanted in the state game. It won't even be close.
No, but the location.
It would be here, yeah.
It's here no matter what.
Yeah, it goes 2-1, 2-1. So two games here and one game in the north.
So no matter what, Sam Boyd Stadium next Saturday.
Next Saturday, yeah.
State championship. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm going Liberty, too. I think we're going to have an all-Southern Nevada
and state championship. And I think Gorman wants to play Liberty. I don't think they want to play Reed. I think
they'd want to play Liberty, too. What would this be, 3 straight years of an all-Southern Nevada state championship? Has it not been since McQueen?
No. 2 years ago when Gorman went up there, they played.
Okay.
I don't know who they played. But
so this would only be 2 years in a row?
2 years in a row.
All right.
And then next year, the game's up north, and they'll be a north team for sure.
All right. I think that's what's going to happen. I've got Liberty.
Okay.
Next game, of course, Gorman and Palo Verde. I do want to correct myself. They didn't ever lose by 30 in those two games, and those games were somewhat close. But I still stand by my case that this isn't a rivalry that I really am that fired up about anymore. Since I've been in Nevada covering high school football, I just added it up. Gorman has beaten Palo a combined 172-73. To me, how does that not lose the luster of a rivalry?
Well,
you're beating by 100 points.
Take away the 70 from last year.
Still, that counts. Those are points. You take away the 70 from last year, how much did Palo score last year? 50? Okay, they've outscored them by 50 in 3 games. That's an average of what? Show how terrible 15, I am at math. 15,
16 a game, right? 45 and 3 is 15. Whatever, 2 touchdowns. Listen, Gorman is the better team. Ain't no doubt about it. But I do think because it's a rivalry that gives Palo a little bit of – it's not like Arbor Gorman or Centennial Gorman where it's not a rivalry. This is a rivalry game and people are fired up for it. It's the Palo week. It's the Gorman week. And I think it's just like, you know, any other Michigan, Ohio State, UNLV, you know, UNR – where the rivalry, do you want to put up some money on this game? Let's come up with the line.
Absolutely.
Give me your best number. Don't lowball me either.
I won't. Okay. I was going to say more than 3 touchdowns.
Okay.
21.5?
No, you got to give me at least 25. 25?
You're so confident you picked 2 touchdowns.
I'm confident, but I'm not stupid. I mean, I know that Gorman is the favorite. They put up 70 last year. I'm not going to say, oh, okay, Gorman put up 70 last year. This year it's going to be a coin flip. I know that Gorman is the favorite, and if Gorman doesn't shoot
24.
24 and a half.
What you both are thinking.
24 and
a half.
I think
24 is fair.
24 on the nut. You got it. $5. All right.
$5 game. 24. I got Gorman minus 24. Here's the deal. Even though I'm preaching how Gorman is going to destroy this team, from seeing Gorman, here's how I think you beat them, which is easier said than done. I don't know how you're going to be able to do this, but I still think even late in the season, I'm not that scared of Gorman's passing game. It hasn't been like lights out. I think last year when they put up 70, the thing was Gorman was more balanced. I think they were better offensively. They could do anything. Right now, Gorman, on every Nevada team, it seems like they run wild. They can run all over you. I think maybe you load up the box, do your best to stop the run. Somehow you're going to have to spy on Cunningham because he's a great runner, and if he gets outside the pocket, you're in trouble. There, maybe if you can shut down their run, get up some points, and force them to throw. Look, they're capable of throwing the ball and making big plays in the passing game, but it's not near as consistent as their running game. Their running game, they're going to get like 7 or 8 yards a carry most of the year. throwing, they've had some throws that were off. Arbor had one easy interception. I think if you can force them into throwing the ball.
So put nine guys in the box and let Cunningham beat you.
Which sounds ridiculous because they got guys like Alize Jones, who's the top tight end in the country. Sure. They got great receivers. And the passing game can be very explosive. It's just, to me, the running game is better.
Okay. For me, the only way Paolo wins is if they create – is if Gorman self-inflicts. Gorman has to have a bad day, has to have some turnovers. So it's – how could we force Gorman into turnovers? And I know that right now
And I think you have a better chance of forcing turnovers if you stop the run and make him throw the ball.
Sure, sure. I think, A, you need to keep the game close early and shorten your window. And I think the only way to do that for Paolo is they need to go on some 16-play, 8-minute drives. I know this is the day and age where you want to get as many snaps off as possible. But I think Paolo needs to shorten the game a little bit because you're not going to beat Gorman straight up 60 minutes or however long a game is, 48 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to beat him. Nobody's going to line up against Gorman and beat them. You have to shorten the game, in my opinion. And I think when push comes to shove, I don't think even if you put nine guys in the box, and I know some of those guys are Ortel and Michael Hughes, who I think they're great.
Michael, Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton, yeah. I think those three guys who are three-year starters who've played Gorman, they know what to expect, and they can have great games and make an impact. But I think when push comes to shove, I think Gorman could still get in a power eye and do whatever they want, like we saw against Liberty in the state game last year.
And the Arbor game. I mean, what stood out to me, and I wrote about it, was their front. Well, against Arbor, I guess it always is if you beat them because Arbor doesn't throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But their front, I mean, they just dominated up front. I went into that game wanting to kind of look for who the stars of the defense were other than Chris Lally because we talk about the kid every week. And he was probably the best player in this game, too, defensively.
Yeah, I mean, no defensive lineman in town goes on Netto's to Case Kiefer's in the building.
Well, but that's kind of what the point is against Arborview. I would say the kid starting at linebacker next to Lally is awfully good, too. We've probably overlooked him a little bit because Lally, but Nayla Otulaku.
I love the kid. He's great.
We haven't talked about him as much, though, because
if his last name was Johnson, we'd mention him more, right? Well, you can't say the last name.
Yeah, but he was absolutely...
Doesn't he look like a middle linebacker?
Yeah, yeah. He's great. And then up front, Singer was awesome as well as Noah Talavia, however he's... his name. And I mean, even the guys they rotate in, like Brian Hunt, Jackson Perry, they got a lot of guys that can kind of cause havoc up there.
They do. And I know on the offensive line, obviously you have, you know, a guy like Singer at center, Nick Gates. You know, when you've got a guy with an Alabama offer playing on your O-line, I think
Alabama
offer, I think you're going to be able to pound the rock. And
Mook is really good, too.
Yeah, he is. Trison, I think.
Trison Mook.
Yeah. Alize Jones committed to UCLA Sunday.
Right. Congratulations. It's pretty early. I didn't think we'd – not that I know anything about the situation, but I didn't think we'd get a commitment that early.
Kid loves UCLA. He's been a dream school. It'd be like if UNLV offered me, I'd have to commit. Joking.
Yeah, well, great for him. Congratulations. And we'll see what he does this weekend. I guess we're both picking Gorman, but I got plus 24. Yeah, minus 24.
We're both picking Gorman. I've always said that this is going to be a close game. I'm not going to back off my statements now. With that said, you got to be pretty perfect to beat Gorman. And the thing that I like about it, I guess, in closing, is how – you would think after Gorman put a 70 spot up against them last year and those lopsided results that you've talked about and how they're perfect in the Sanchez era, that this game wouldn't have as much meaning. But Gorman treats this game like it's the Super Bowl. They understand the rivalry, and that, for me, is what's cool about it, is the game is still important to the kids. And that's when we get our best football. Like I said, it's Red Sox-Yankees. It's Alabama-Auburn. It's Ohio State-Michigan. It's UNLV, UNR.
I think that's probably fair. UNR had beat up on UNLV for a long time, too. Well, and this year it broke through. Maybe it's the year for Palo Verde. Yeah, maybe everything I said is insane.
Yeah, UNR is a dog pit, and everybody knows that. Dog pit. The highlight of the year for me is that I don't have to go to Marino until basketball. All right. Anyways, thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you Saturday. We'll talk to you next week.